Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
How was your holiday plops, Peter?
It was very good. Had great holiday plops, yes. Went to the land of Nether.
Mm-hmm.
Screw the Nether.
Yes.
And before you ask, I did not partake in the local culture in
I
the
told
sense
you,
that...
I told you you wouldn't.
I thought... Known pothead, Peter.
I said they're going to museums.
Yeah.
And
you
that's
can
it.
Do both.
And, but I said both. They won't do both. They'll go to museums.
Yeah.
Well, you were right.
I feel vindicated.
It's been years since I was, you know, did anything like that. And I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of past it now. And I've gone over a threshold where it's like quite difficult to come back.
Okay.
Because it's been, I think it's been like 4 or 5 years since I've doobie done.
You can tell how far gone he is.
Scooby doo
yeah. Because he's using that vernacular
yeah,
to describe
indeed.
Drugs.
So no, didn't do that. Didn't go to the red light district. Because we're only in Amsterdam for a day. So, and then we went to the nice city question mark. Yeah, city of Leiden, which is just south of Amsterdam.
You get any cheese? No, of course you didn't. That's
no, but
question.
There was loads of cheese. Yeah. There were cheese shops that were just walls and walls of wheels of cheese. It was like an Oblivion glitch.
I love it.
Yeah.
I want to go to there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad you had a lovely time.
Thanks.
There's all sorts happening in the video game world, isn't there, since we've
been
there?
Yeah.
You good, Ashton?
Yes.
How are
tired
you?
Tired today.
Tired a bit, but I'm all right.
Mm. Good. Happy to hear that. I'm also okay. I'm
great.
Going to a
good.
Wedding this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It should be a nice time.
Wonderful.
I'm feeding Ben's cat.
You're feeding my cat. Yes, you are. You get to hang out with Pippa.
I do.
You don't have to stay there for very long.
I'll hang out a bit.
Just throw some food.
Maybe not in the morning before work.
No, probably not.
But maybe on Saturday morning, she might get a little hangout session.
Some playtime.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that would be good. I'm looking forward to hearing from Pippa about what an amazing time she had.
Mm-hmm.
Having a holiday
for me. I don't want to make her have too good of a time because then she might not want, she'll be upset that you've come home.
Well, she's usually upset that I've come home anyway most days, so that won't really be out of the norm.
Yeah.
But,
if Amy goes to a wedding or something, sees some friends, can you come around and just hang out with me for a bit?
Okay, I can do that.
Go and feed Peter.
Yeah.
How weird. We are sponsored each and every week by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. Helps us keep the still single bulb on in this studio. Any sign of him, Peter? Do you see?
I always think that's him, but it's not.
It's a bit of,
it's a bit of crud. Yeah.
He'll come back soon. Sure.
Yeah,
he will as the seasons change. Yeah.
I had my first bug in a while fly into my face while I was cycling earlier this week. So it's happening.
The seasons are changing.
They're coming. Mm. Get ready. But actually, Peter, I believe you have the ad read in front of you, don't you?
I do.
For this video game sponsor.
Yeah, there's a game it's actually coming out today at time of recording.
Oh.
It's by Kepler Interactive, and it's about you get in a car and you know when your dad says, oh, what route are you taking? And you're just like, I don't know. I'm going to just put
just
it in the sat-nav.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to take the A035-69 or are you going to take the A423-345?
Valid question.
And you're like, I don't know, Dad or Mum. And Dad and Mum is like, look, let's work this out. And the game is your parent
yes
opens the map and says, this is the way you need to go.
This is the...
specific drive.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's it.
What do you do in specific drive? It's just
there's no driving.
You just plan the route.
You just plan the route.
So it's like when you used to be able to get like games for your PSP or even your PlayStation 2.
Yes.
It was just a map,
mm-hmm.
but on a UMD disc or something. It served no real purpose. It was just a digital map that you could access.
That's it.
That's kind of what
it is. It's an older relative, at least one generation above, sitting with an A to Z saying, go this way. And that service station is a good one. Mm-hmm. They say things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have to make notes on it, like which service stations have got like KFC,
mm-hmm.
right.
or like which ones have only just got like a Starbucks.
They say stuff that only dads or others know.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll take you, you'll go around the bypass of this town that's called, Fudgeton or whatever.
You get to avoid the Fudgeton.
Yeah. And did you know that there used to be a really big Ford factory in Fudgeton? And you're like, what? Yeah, in the 1980s, there was like a big steel industry and they had a Ford factory.
In Fudgeton.
Yeah.
Do they occasionally interrupt their stories by going, break? Mm-hmm. And you hear sort of the sound of someone attempting to break in the passenger seat.
Hanging
on to the mother-in-law handle that's on the side of the car. Sounds great. Yeah. Specific drive. And if you go the wrong way, what happens then? Is it like a Stanley Parable?
There's no driving, though. I think you don't get the break thing because it's just about planning the route.
Okay.
But maybe he's still just, for future, before you've set off, he does just go, break, while you're sitting.
Just to give you that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's nice. An authentic experience. Mm-hmm.
It's not real.
Oh, okay.
Dang it.
It's a shame. No, we're not sponsored by Specific Drive. We're sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you go there and support us, you get access to all sorts of wonderful rewards like submitting questions for this podcast, early access to worst and weirdest games ever, and exclusive access to episodes of Rules Boss and Main Menu. Tons of stuff.
Mm.
What else have I got to say here? Triplejump.mub, that's our website. That's where you can find links to our YouTube, our Twitch, if you want to join our Discord, get a cameo message from one of us. Triplejumpshop.com. We have the samples.
We do.
We have the merch samples. It's happening.
If we have time today, we will be shooting just a little something, a little ad thing.
Come on.
We can kind of just go whenever.
Yeah.
I think we're planning on doing it next week. Mm-hmm. Time of release next this coming week, but it's all ready to go.
Save up those pennies. One of the items will be pre-order only, and if you're a fan of Triple Jump, you're gonna want to pay attention to the merch announcement because once it's gone, it's gone.
Yes.
We've also got patreon.com/teamtriplejump. I already said that. Quiet week outside of our regular content. And After Dark went out on the Monday just gone for patrons of the appropriate tier. That's our bonus podcast where we talk about everything not video game related. And we can do swears and stuff. So go and check that out if you support us on Patreon at that tier. Shall we crack on with question one?
We've got a question here from Richard Major who says, the PS5 is entering, quote, the latter stage of its life cycle, according to Sony, whatever that even means. Whilst this is certainly still too early to really say, what do you think the PS5's legacy will be? Personally, I'll remember the PS5 as having an excellent controller, but basically all the games being remakes of PS2/3 games or actually just being PS4 games. Thank you, Richard Major. I've got the quote here. This is written by IGN, but they're saying, according to Bloomberg, Sony Senior Vice President Naomi Matsuoka said the company now expects the sales pace of the PS5 to start falling from the next fiscal year, which begins April 2024 and runs until the end of March 25. This is the quote. Looking ahead, PS5 will enter the latter stage of its life cycle. As such, we'll put more emphasis on the balance between profitability and sales. For this reason, we expect the annual sales of PS5 hardware will start falling from the next fiscal year. So, Richard Major says, whatever that means. I think really what it means is they're saying they've sort of peaked. Yeah. Sales have peaked. So it's not necessarily saying anything more than that. But, I mean, if we go by the average sort of time gap between one generation and the next, going back through the PlayStation's history, it's in the first couple of consoles it was 6 years. Since then it's been every 7 years. And so if we're going by that as a rule of thumb, we're looking at maybe 2027 for the PS6. So seemingly still some years left before we really start thinking about the PS6. But to answer the question, I agree with Richard Major in that I do love the controller, actually. That is one thing I wouldn't have thought of immediately. But yeah, I think it's a great controller. But also the thing that I will take away, the thing I'm taking away at the moment, but clearly we've still got some years left, is that the PS5 does have a lot of its games out on PS4, or it has done until recently. Even some of the biggest games of the console so far, your God of War Ragnaroks and your Horizon Forbidden West, to speak only of first party stuff, was on PS4. And they're as recent as 2022. I think 2023 was when it really started to be like, okay, now like stuff really is kind of just current gen, and it's not sort of cross-generational. So I think we're now finally moving away from that. But yeah, it's certainly the thing that has been, I think, quite a significant part of, or a sort of a noticeable thing in with the PS5 is that, oh, you could also play this on PS4, and is that holding back the quality of this game?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, I agree. But I also do think that that's potentially an industry-wide problem.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just PlayStation 5, but it definitely has fallen victim to it. I think it'll be the console that never really got the opportunity to shine, in the sense of, like, everyone was so worried about selling all of these games that we never really got many games that are just designed for the PlayStation 5 and with the PlayStation 5 in mind. I don't know if we ever got to see it reach its full potential. And this is obviously not dying. We're going to have a few more years of this now. Though we're not getting any games for it for the next like 12 months. So, you know, don't know what that's about. But yeah, I think it never really got a chance to shine. I think that it is... I like that you can customize the side plates. I think it will always be remembered as the monolith. Monolithed the PlayStation 3. And I like the controller as well. But yeah, I just think it never got the opportunity to reach its full potential. And I think that's probably one of the main issues with the PlayStation 5. And probably one of the reasons with a lot of one of the main issues with a lot of the games that came out for it was that they never were designed with the PlayStation 5 in mind. They were designed to run on a PlayStation 4 and then be boosted to run on a PlayStation 5 better. They weren't designed to push the PlayStation 5 as far as it could be, because otherwise it wouldn't run on a PlayStation 4. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of overlap between the PlayStation 5 and 4 life cycles. So yeah, that's what I think its legacy will be.
I wonder how much that was influenced by the like lack of availability of PS5s in the early days.
Yeah,
whether
probably.
Like developers thought, or Sony thought, oh, we need to make sure that people can play this, and if they haven't got a PS5, we need to make sure it's also playable on PS4.
Yeah, probably.
They're still so expensive as well.
Yes.
They've just not seen any kind of drop off in the price point. There've been a couple of deals over the years. We've got like the slimmer one now. That's the same price as the original. In fact, the price went up, didn't it, at one point?
Oh, yeah, it did.
Which is bonkers. We're due a sort of like half generation, more powerful version, a pro version at some point, which might do something cool. I don't know. But as someone who had the PS4 Pro before the PS5 came out, yes, obviously, if you compare the games side by side, they're going to look better and run better on the PlayStation 5 versus a PS4 Pro. But when I was playing games there and I had the choice, I was given the choice between 60 frames per second or, you know, 4K, but not both. I was really hoping, I think a lot of people are quite disappointed, myself included, that we're still having to choose between quality and performance mode. That doesn't feel right. Why is that? What's the whole point of this generation then, if that's not what it's for? I think it's difficult to know while we're in it. I think it'll be way easier to look back at the legacy when we're out of this generation, especially as we're probably not even halfway through it at this point. But it just feels like a safe, steady generation. No real risks taken. Yeah, you can do some colorful flap stuff to the PS5, but the UI's not really changed at all. It doesn't really... I know the passage of time feels like it's flowed really fast since lockdown and stuff, But it's shocking to me that we're already talking about the latter stage of the life cycle.
Me too, yeah.
Although it does make sense because it has been nearly 4 years. Mm-hmm. But even so, it's just like in that 4 years, it doesn't really feel like anything's happened. There have been some huge games, but as Richard Major pointed out, a lot of them are remakes or sequels. In fact, I had a little look at the list of exclusives for PS5. And if you discount games that have that also came out on Steam or have since come out on Steam, were on PS4, and aren't a sequel or a remake, you've got Astro's Playroom and Destruction All-Stars. Those are the two original exclusives that are not sequels or remakes on PlayStation 5.
Yeah,
that's kind of shocking to think about. These games are getting, they're coming around less and less frequently. As you said, Ashton, we're not going to get another one in the next year, apparently.
Yeah.
And also, as we've still got a lot of this generation left to go, it could well be that this generation becomes defined by PlayStation's push into live service, especially with the success of Helldivers. It may be just all steam ahead now. Who's to say? But that is looking at it through a very critical lens, because when you go back and look at like the PS2, a lot of the games associated with that era were multi-platform. When people think of San Andreas, a lot of people think PS2. It wasn't an exclusive game.
Mm-hmm.
And it could well be that we come out of this generation and think, oh, remember all those amazing third-party games that released on PS5 and other consoles and were great. And they defined that era. You know, GTA 5 somehow still managed, Fortnite defining the PlayStation 5. It's difficult to say at this point, but certainly to me, it just feels really safe. I've had no issues with my PS5.
No.
Not had to replace it. It's never shut down. It just plays games, and I have to choose if I want them in 4K or in 60 frames, and that feels a bit crap.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do miss, though.
Go on.
Themes.
Themes, yeah. Exactly. That's what I mean about the UI.
I wish I could have a home screen theme.
And folders.
Proper folders.
Yeah, I thought just a launch issue, that they were like, oh, yeah, we'll add these in like 6 months.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And they never did.
Yeah.
Traditionally, most consoles, it didn't happen so much with the One and the PS4, and I don't think it's happened at all with the Switch, but they have like a huge UI overhaul at some point, or like they had a load of new features. We've not seen anything. We've been able to turn down the beep volume of the PS5 when you turn it on, and very exciting, in the new update, I'm on the beta for it at the moment, you can change the brightness of the lights around the PS5. Yeah, like the power indicator. It's a huge game changer. And also there's a slightly different screen when you shut it down and put it into rest mode. But that's it. Here's the thing, right? We don't need anything.
Mm.
It kind of just does what
it's
it
all
does.
Just doing it, yeah.
But it would be nice to have some sort of shakeup, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a console without a personality.
Without a soul.
Without a soul.
And is this a bad sign in terms of the likelihood of a shakeup? If Sony are saying like, okay, we're on the sort of the second half now of this console's life cycle, we're probably going to see a drop in sales. Are they going to be even less invested in like doing anything spicy and interesting to it? It's just like,
no problems
with it. We'll run it for a few more years. PS6 eventually. That's where we'll focus all of our innovation now.
Yeah, yeah. Stay the course. I'm hoping that this Pro actually lets us have our cake and eat it with frame rate and visuals, because there's feels like that should be the entire point of this generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
making it look as good as possible and run as good as possible.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have to make a choice. Come on. And sometimes performance mode isn't even 60 frames.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, like with Jedi Survivor, one mode runs the game and the other mode doesn't.
Yeah. Performance mode just means it runs.
It runs.
That's it. God help you if you want visuals only.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. It's time to move on to a section. We actually started this last week.
Yeah, we tried it last week.
Okay.
While you were on holiday, because we thought maybe we'll test it out, see if we liked it, and then introduce it to you later on.
It go well?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. It's called What We Play In.
Right.
It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about what we've been playing. Peter, what have you been playing?
Well, I played a little bit more Loco Roco before I went away.
Hmm.
Then I went away.
Mm-hmm.
Then the day after we got back, we did a little family Jackbox.
Oh,
we did. But I really need to invest in more Jackbox packs. I came to the rescue, actually. we had another go at the game that I talked about, the mobile game that was just, you know, it's not enforcing its own rules, this board game.
Yeah.
We realized that.
A trust system.
A trust system that we didn't realize till later on. And we're like, oh, should we just do it like when we come back from the Netherlands? We're like, yeah, okay. And we couldn't like connect to any servers, and it was just not working at all. It was rubbish. And I went, hey, family, I have a thing. And so me and Amy whipped out Jackbox, but I've only got pack 1 and 5, and 5 actually is not that good, I don't think. So fortunately, these we're talking it's my parents-in-law we're talking about here, and siblings-in-law, and they hadn't played any Jackbox. I think one of the siblings had, but their parents hadn't. And so you can whip out basic Bish pack 1, mm-hmm. and they can be really impressed and have a great time.
Right, yes.
So we had a good time. We played Drawful and Fibbage, and then that was it. And so now between now and maybe next week when we do it again, because I think it's becoming a weekly thing, I might have to finally invest in some more packs. Mm-hmm. So that was that. I meant to also last night start Tomb Raider, but I didn't because some new Star Wars was out. So I just watched that. yeah, so that's all I've played, really, given that I've had sort of 4 or 5 days away. Bit of Lock Rock and Jackbox.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Ashton, what have you been playing?
I've played some more Baldur's Gate 3. I know I say this every week for the last like 4 weeks.
Still not bloody finished it.
Well, every time we get close to finishing it, another thing is put in front of us and we do that quest instead.
Got to do the thing.
But this weekend, I promise, as of Saturday, we only have the final quest left to do now.
Okay.
Everything else is ticked off. Everything else is done. All the companion quests are finished. It's just the main quest now that we have to do. So I think this weekend I might finally finish it. It's only been 3 months since I started it, but it's happening.
You're still enjoying it?
Yes, good. I am. Yeah, I still good. Really like that game. I have played some more Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden. And the other thing I have played, which we got sent a code for, so thanks so much, was Mario versus Donkey Kong, which is the remake of the Game Boy Advance Mario versus Donkey Kong game. Mm-hmm. It's a little puzzler. I think that this one's one of those games which is like in every way perfect for the Switch. Like you can pick it up, play one puzzle, and then put it down. You can like pick it up for a while, play a bunch of puzzles, and then put it down. Like it's a really just like, because everything's very condensed. Like I streamed it this week for 2 hours and I did 23 puzzles.
Wow.
There is a lot of puzzles as well. But yeah, you basically, for 6 of every, so the world has 8 levels. Mm-hmm. For 6 levels, you're collecting your little mini Marios that are in like Pokeballs.
Yeah.
They're in, you know, those like toy machines where you put like a 10p in and you spin it and they come in a capsule. They're all in little capsules. And then one level is trying to get them to guide them to the end of that level.
Okay.
But most of the time, it's just like collect the word toy and then put them in the box. And then everyone has a Donkey Kong boss fight type situation where it uses the mechanics you've learned in the other 6 areas in the world. And then if you lose any of your little mates, well, if you get hit, you sacrifice one of your little
friends.
And if you lose any of them, you don't get a perfect star. And I've been getting perfect stars in all of them.
Of course you have.
Wow. Because I have to, because the stars make me feel happy. this game, I got confused because I've played the DS version of Mario versus Donkey Kong. I think it's called March of the Minis. And that one is way more like a Lemmings type situation. You play as the minis for the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. Whereas this version of the game, you play as Mario for the majority of the game and you are collecting minis for this one level in each world. So I was a bit confused when I first started. I was like, where is all the mini levels? Like, is there only one every world? That's really strange. But yeah, that's basically how the Game Boy Advance version played. Mm. But having only played the DS version, I was surprised that was the case.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good game. It looks pretty good. They have like an opening cutscene of Donkey Kong going and stealing all of the mini Marios from the shop because he can't find them. No, it goes to the factory because the shops are
goes straight
are all,
to the factory?
Because all the shops are sold out.
Wow.
And he really wants a mini Mario.
Why?
Because they go, it's-a me.
I mean, I would want one.
You'd think he'd be able, if anyone's going to be able to get a mini Mario, it would be him, because it's, you know, surely licensed to him.
Donkey Kong's the guy.
You'd think he would get sent like a box of them
to
give away to his fans.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd think so, but he doesn't. So he goes and robs the factory, and Mario doesn't appreciate corporate espionage, I guess, or theft, and he chases Donkey Kong through about 10 worlds just to get some mini Marios back. I think maybe Big Mario needs to get a life a little bit and just leave Donkey Kong to have his mini Marios, because he just wants to hang out with them.
He's Donkey Kong's a colleague.
Yeah,
surely.
Exactly.
You're all
a
under
friend.
The Nintendo banner.
Yeah. During the stream this week, I kept calling him Bowser by accident.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, I know it's not Bowser. But yeah, that's a good little game. And if you're looking for a Switch game that's a puzzler, then yeah, pretty easy as well. So kids can play it.
Fantastic. Per ASA guidelines.
Like me.
Per ASA guidelines, we have to disclose that that code was gifted, as you said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So technically, this is now an ad. However, there was no financial compensation in exchange for coverage. We were just given a code.
They did send us a puzzle, though.
They did send us a physical puzzle, which we
and
put up
on social media.
And
a slidey puzzle, which me and Kieran keep passing back and forth.
Yeah.
Messing it up, and then
ruining
one of
it
us
for
solves
each other.
It. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's a fun little game. Thank you, Nintendo.
That's all I've played this week.
I played a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking.
What do you mean?
You always play a few things.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because I like games.
I know you do.
So that's what I'm going to do. I've played FC24, EA Sports Football Club, Football Club FC.
It's not FIFA
24. It's not FIFA, but it is FIFA. Mm. I've done that because I had a friend visit and he had it. And we usually play some FIFA when we hang out. So we start like a Champions League tournament with a rubbish team and then just get unreasonably cross about how the game, it feels like the game is artificially making it way too difficult. Like, we play on a high difficulty, but then these players who are not rated very highly, it feels like are would not behave like anyone who plays professional football would.
Mm.
Like they feel like they're running through treacle. Mm. They're really like stupidly slow. They make absurd mistakes all the time. And then anyone you play against who's even just a little bit better is basically just a world. what am I trying to say?
World class
footballer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. It really does show, it's not how you're meant to play FIFA, really, but it really shows sort of how the game's constructed when you play it that way, when you are playing as a crap team, because it's like, it's not about skill anymore, it's about luck.
Yeah.
It's about RNG and whether or not the keeper's going to stop. Yeah, it's crap. Mm. But I had a decent enough time playing it. It looks, you know, visually, it looks fantastic. It's come a long way from, you know, the FIFA games of old, all the little tweaks, the ringside cameras and stuff, the little cutscenes before the matches and, you know, idle
ringside,
animations.
Ringside, that's the slip there.
Ringside,
into wrestling
mode. Whoops. Pitch side. So,
I didn't even notice. I was like, yes, ringside cameras.
They play football in rings.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah
the
yeah.
big square rectangle ring. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I played a bit of that. I played some Tekken 8.
Oh, did you?
I'm bad at it, but it is fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really fun. Very flashy and very stupid. Mm-hmm. And I played some of that.
I've just remembered something. Go I have on. Played that something. You carry on and I'll tell you about it in a minute.
Okay. Cool. There's a beach ball game, isn't there?
Yeah.
Where you hit a beach ball back and forth, but you have to like do moves to the beach ball. Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of volley it, otherwise you get smacked in the face and lose some health. That was fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I also saw some of that weird like arcade bit where you make a little me version of yourself and walk. That's weird.
Really weird.
It's a really weird thing.
Yeah. I don't know if they announced that ahead of, they probably did. Like, I wasn't following it that closely, but that really took me by surprise. Like, I was not ready for that.
Bizarre.
It wasn't in any of the trailers.
No, it wasn't in the trailers, certainly.
Imagine if all these intense trailers for Tekken 8 and then there's just a weird a cartoon man bobbling about.
Playing Tekken.
Helldivers 2. I've played some of that.
Mm-hmm. Fun?
It's really fun.
Did you actually get into a game?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I actually did. I haven't been playing it a lot, but I have played it. I've played like maybe 10 matches. Really fun. It's not immediately obvious like how everything works. You go through a training mission, but I think that's part of the fun because it's meant, I mean, I'm sure you've seen loads of clips, but it is meant to be chaotic and mad. Like, you do get overwhelmed by loads of people. And when your friendly fire is on, so you accidentally kill each other all the time. And when you want to, they're called stratagems, which are basically any kind of like
bonus power that you want to activate going in. So it'll be like call in an airstrike, call in reinforcements. So if one of your allies gets killed, they can't just redeploy immediately. One of you has to call in a thing to bring them back down.
Right.
Or if you want like a resupply, like some more ammo, or call in a special weapon, like a machine gun that's way more powerful and stuff like that, then you have to, you will eventually, I imagine, if you play it enough, learn these inputs off by heart. But you have to hold L1 to bring up a submenu all in real time. It says the name of the thing that you want, say, airstrike. Mm. And then you have to press directional buttons in like a certain order. So you're like, one of your teammates has been killed by you, probably. Loads of robots are marching towards you. And you're like desperately sprinting, like double tapping circle to dive off cliffs into cover and stuff while like, beep boop, beep boop, like putting in these buttons wrong. Like, oh God, I'm just trying to get, it like really adds to the, it's like intentionally quite cumbersome to make it more stressful in a way that it's actually not that hard. But when you're in a stressful situation, it just makes it more intense and funny and fun. Mm. And the whole democracy at any cost sort of narrative that they push is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're waiting, it says, please, please wait democratically.
Right.
You go on the in-game shop, which is really generous. I know it's been heavily publicized, really generous with like not nickel and diming. Mm-hmm. Like it's really good. And there are fake user reviews under some of the items that you can get. And they're all 5 stars. Like, bought this for my husband. He loves it. You know, fought so democratically with this weapon. And then there's occasionally you'll see a 1-star review and it says redacted, being investigated for, you know, violating freedom or something like that. It's just a really fun, well put together co-op game, and it genuinely doesn't matter if you're playing with friends or not. Mm-hmm. But I have played with friends, admittedly only one at a time and then 2 randoms. But like, this is the kind of sort of service type game that I could really get behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, I have increasingly fallen out of love with sort of PvP multiplayer games because I just don't have the time to dedicate to get good at them.
Yeah.
Whereas at the very least in a co-op game where you're facing, you know, CPUs and AI and the way that they generate the missions, it's just, and they incentivize it really well with a very generous battle pass that's free and stuff like that. And you're always grinding for like the next weapon or, you know, being able to call in a more powerful airstrike or what have you and change your armor up and things like that. I get it. Like, it's just really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I am slightly concerned, as I said earlier, that the success, the monumental success of this, the unprecedented success of this is going to push Sony even more towards scrapping all their single player narrative stuff and focusing purely on this.
Yeah.
And they're not all going to be hits.
No. Mm-hmm. And maybe not just Sony as well. Just other people generally might look at Live Service doing well and or at Helldivers doing well. And think, oh, yeah.
We can do that.
We'll do that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also gorgeous and it runs really well. Like when you're raining down airstrikes and it's just chaos and everything's exploding, it's just really good. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Big fan of that. I completely, like a lot of people, wrote it off before it came out.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that it's great and I'm so glad I played it. The final thing that I have been putting all of my time into is a game that I am not allowed to talk about, which is a huge tease, but I have played about 21 hours of it and I will talk about it next week.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other thing, Ashton?
I went to an arcade this week.
Oh.
I forgot because it was on Saturday and that feels like such a long time ago now. It was date night and we went to Four Quarters, which is a second arcade bar in Newcastle.
Oh.
Different to the one we've been to before.
Is it new?
I think it is. It's not that new. It's been around for like a year or so at least.
Okay.
But it's really, it's quite good. And I played some Guitar Hero. Man, I suck at that, but I had a great time. we played some Mortal Kombat. I think it was one. I'm not sure. It was a Mortal Kombat. I just got my ass kicked straight away by Ben. And then he died in the next round. We played some House of the Dead 2. Those games are just brilliant, aren't they? They're just the way they talk to you. They're like, help me. Help. And
it's
I'm like,
time to stop run the chaos
away.
In the city.
Move away from the zombies, idiot woman. And then we also played some Sega Rally.
Were you sitting in a...
With the bucket seats and everything?
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I played like 4 rounds of pinball as well. Got really into the pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
It was Deadpool-themed pinball.
Yeah.
I don't ever really know what I'm doing in pinball. Like, I know you go get the ball to not go down the hole.
Yeah.
But then there's like things going on the screen. And I'm like, I'm confused. There's like a movie playing and it's like, press this button. And I'm like, why? What's happening? But yeah, I played those games.
Nice. Week. Is it more or less expensive than NQ64? Because NQ64 in every expensive. City is so expensive.
Less expensive, I think.
That's good. Okay.
You get like 15 quarters for £7.
Okay.
And then
and how much are the drinks?
The drinks are like, well, they had like 2-for-1 all night.
Okay.
And I think they were like £12 for a two.
Do they serve a blue triple jump, though, is the question.
They don't serve a blue triple jump, no.
So the problem with these nerd bars is that they cost a... The drinks are disgustingly expensive.
But it's just because it's a cocktail
expensive.
Bar. Like, well, every cocktail bar will cost like £12.
But you can still get like a beer in them and they cost a fortune.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so expensive.
Also, it's like underground, so there's like no signal down there.
Wow, you really go into the bunker then.
You do.
Lovely.
I guess there's a lot of upkeep for the arcades and stuff, but
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, it's still it. Yeah,
it just makes me not want to go.
If it was a bit cheaper, I would.
I've still got like 10 NQ64.
They had a cocktail named after a porn star. It's a porn star martini, but it was named Riley Reed, which is a porn star.
Okay,
right.
And I said to my boyfriend, "That's named after a porn star," and he was like, "I'll take your word for it."
Yeah, how do you know?
I was like, "Whoops."
Just a big fan of your work. It's fine. Should we move on?
Yeah, Slack.
Question two.
It's question two now. Comes from Captain Cone. What do you guys think about the new Borderlands trailer?
Here we go.
And what do you think took? And why do you think it took so long for it to come out?
Thank you, Captain Cone.
Thank you, Captain Cone.
Thank you for your service.
And we didn't salute Major Richard either at the start.
True.
Sorry.
Oopsie.
Sorry,
yeah. Richard. Well, it's got a good cast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the trailer, is it? That's just the film. The cast is good and impressive.
I don't know how they've afforded the cast.
No, I don't. I think visually it looked all right. This is the thing. I don't know if I was expecting anything sort of like the style, the Borderlands visual style, like the inking or something along those lines. You don't necessarily have to like literally make everything look inked or cel shaded or anything like that. But there are films that just have certain like color grading or like saturation or stuff that alone can make something look almost comic booky or like something like that. And this, although it's very bright and colourful, it just looks like various other bright and colourful sci-fi or action movies.
Which looked a bit cosplay at times.
Yeah, it did. And I'm not the best judge for whether they've captured these characters properly, given that I'm not really a Borderlands player, but I am sort of vaguely aware of some of the characters, having just worked in this industry for a while. Certainly Tiny Tina, I wasn't really sure about at all, and that's the one that I think Kieran picked up on in our chat. He mentioned that, and she just seems like a sort of a teenage girl. Yeah. Which I mean would be fine as a character in an original piece. Like, I don't think that like that character and that portrayal is like actively bad, but it's not true to the source material, which is what we're dealing with here. You know, if you're adapting something, maybe you should be working more on trying to match that. But yeah, I mean, those are my initial thoughts, is that I just think as a non-Borderlands thing, it's got a good cast and it looks quite good in terms of the CG. But when you say, but this is a Borderlands film, I'm not sure about that. And then also, you know, you look at like the development of this film and you have to start to worry, like, how good is this going to be? I don't think there was anything obvious in the trailer that said this is going to be bad. You know, some trailers, particularly in the past few years, have come out and you've already known the film.
What's the Madame Web quote?
Yeah.
My mother died in the rainforest, which was researching spiders right before I was born.
Yeah.
So good.
It's really good.
Really good writing.
That was the one I was thinking of, in fact. But yeah, so sometimes...
Did you see that they took the piss out of that in the promo stuff?
I saw that someone asked her in an interview. They said, like, oh, what do you think about the fact that line has been memed? And she was like, what? What are you talking about?
No. Like, but Borderlands, the movie promo they took the piss out of that.
Oh,
line.
Yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah.
On Twitter, they made like a thing like meet the characters, and it was like Kevin Hart is Roland, and then Roland's quote was, "My mother died in the rainforest researching spiders before I was born."
I mean, people. Yeah. Let's be quite frank here. People in glass houses
shouldn't
really be, because I have We'll talk about it in a second. I have very little faith that this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't know how I know.
Particularly that it's from, I think, the same production company, Citation.
Do you know how I know that it's not going to be good?
Go on.
Because it's produced by the same people that did the Uncharted movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that came up, I was like...
It was also one of the writers, I think, and there have been a few, where is it? Yes, it part of the rewrites were done by the guy who did Space Jam: A New Legacy, which didn't go down particularly well. And I'm sure there was
Wasn't
another...
it The Hangover 2, parts 2 and 3 was written by...
Well, Craig Mazin apparently wrote it.
Originally,
yeah. And then had his name removed from it after reshoots. Yeah.
Hilarious.
I've got a whole... I can tell you the story of development when we get to that. But yeah, going off the trailer, if it wasn't a Borderlands film, I might look at that and think, okay, maybe. But when you add in the fact that it's supposed to be a Borderlands adaptation and it's had a very troubled development cycle, I am concerned. But there was nothing in it that I looked at and thought, that looks like a bad film based on that actual footage.
Yeah. Madam Web is from a different studio.
Right.
Here's the thing. Here are the things I liked about the trailer.
Go on.
Moxie. Yes. She looked great. I liked all the way the psychos looked. Mm-hmm. I liked how colourful things were. Mm-hmm. I liked that they've got Commander, what was her flipping name? Mm-hmm. It's just Steel. That's cool. That she's in it. Here's the things I didn't like about it. There's just normal man. There's just a normal man.
Just innocent man.
Just a normal innocent man. Where he's playing Atlas.
He's playing.
And everyone else is like, you know, not super stylized, but they've all got like kind of the same theme outfit. And then he's just a guy in a suit. He's like, kill them all. And I'm like, who is this normal man? Who is he? Where did he come from? Why is he on this space planet being a normal man? I didn't like that they made a pee joke and a poo joke.
I thought that was the best bit of the trailer. My sides were split.
Were they?
Yeah.
Cackling.
Guts all over the floor.
Bereft of ribs.
Gasping for air. I thought that like it just felt really watered down. It just felt like this is the humor. They were like, you think if you like Borderlands humor, you love piss and poo. You love pee and poo.
Love it.
My favorite. Interesting. I didn't love Jack Black's Claptrap. I think that it's crazy that you've already had two actors play Claptrap and then you couldn't get either of them to be in the movie. I love Jack Black. I am open to you know, being proved wrong. I don't think I'm going to be, though. I couldn't even hear him doing, like, really a Claptrap voice.
No.
They just put a Claptrap effect on.
Yeah. I hate Lilith's hair. I think it looks ridiculous. Kate Blanchett is so hot, and I don't know what they've done for that hair, but it's terrible. It's the worst wig I've ever seen. Tannis, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, had about as much personality as a spoon. At one point, she says... I needed a gun.
Yeah, that was one thing that I thought, what?
She steals Kevin Hart's Roland's gun. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what did you do that for? I needed a gun.
Then ask.
Then ask.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was the exchange. It was funny.
It was funny.
It was funny.
It's just so not Borderlands.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It just, none of it
when
was
you
like.
See her, when you meet her for the first time in Borderlands 3, she crawls out of an alien that's on an operating table in her. Lab. She just slides out of it.
She's such an interesting character, and she's so mental. Quirky and so mental. Like, even the way she speaks is really interesting. And I just got like none of that from Tannis. No. But to be honest, I got none of that from any of the characters in the trailer. I know it's only a trailer. I will go and see the movie because we'll make a big deal about it. And I'm sure we'll do the same thing we did with this movie as we did with the Uncharted movie.
Yeah.
We'll sit and we'll talk about it for like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it just felt bland. Like, it looked all right, visually seemed fine. We didn't even hear Krieg speak once. He was just in the background shots doing this.
I imagine he'll be dubbed, right? Probably.
Probably.
Because I think the guy playing him is German.
Oh,
I don't know. Isn't his name like, I think he's Spanish.
I'm pretty sure he's German.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was Spanish.
I think so, because I looked him up earlier.
Oh, okay.
I think he was German.
All right.
Also, one other thing I meant to say, they really, really wanted to they basically want, I felt like they wanted to use Fox on the Run and felt like we can't.
Yes, yeah.
So they just picked that ELO song instead.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is what we should do. Someone sat down in a room and said, what we want to do is make Guardians of the Galaxy,
yes,
but it's Borderlands.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then they cut the trailer together. Wow. That probably did get picked up on the microphone.
Was that Randy Pitchford?
It could have been.
Shut up.
They wanted to make Guardians, and the trailer, they wanted it to look like Guardians, and so they picked the most Guardians of the Galaxy song that hadn't been used in the Guardians films, and that's what.
Yeah. One other thing I liked.
Mm-hmm.
This girl is on fire.
Yeah.
We got a little reference to that.
You saw her little firehawk thing in the sky. Did we see her using any...
No, she only used guns, Ben. Mm-hmm. She only used guns.
This has not gone... To say it's not gone down well with Borderlands fans is a bit of an understatement.
You loved it.
I thought it was
Border stands.
So to continue talking about why it's taken so long very quickly before I give my thoughts, filming wrapped in mid-2021, there were reshoots in January 2023, and it's coming out this year. So it's been in the can... For nearly 4 years.
Yeah.
It was first pitched to Lionsgate in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was passed around. This is why we have been talking about, like, off content, just because we're fans of Borderlands, about how this is probably going to be terrible and how actually we kind of want it to be bad because the worse it is, the better, because that'd be funnier.
Yeah.
It's also from Avi Arad's production company, who are most recently known for the NAF Sony Marvel movies like Morbius and Venom, and also Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. If you look at the Arad Productions sort of most recent releases, it's like a who's who of horrible movies, apart from an occasional actual banger, like the animated Into the Spider-Verse things.
Yeah.
And also the ones that actually have Spider-Man in, like No Way Home and that kind of stuff. So this film has very little going for it. And that trailer did look, like you said, like they wanted to make Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. It's got Borderlands flavor in there. It's got Borderlands character names in there, but it doesn't really feel like any of those characters are true to the actual characters from Borderlands.
She didn't once say sup killer.
Yeah, sup killer. That's like, she loves
she
saying that.
She didn't call me killer one time.
She loves it. She didn't look directly down the lens and say sup killer.
And you know what
point.
Else didn't happen?
What?
Weird top of the screen, someone talking to you from.
Oh yeah, like weird live action vision.
That was... I hope they do that at some point.
I also didn't get sort of obnoxious vibes from Claptrap. I think he only had two lines, and one of them was, He went down that hole.
Expelling lead.
Then the other one was the lead
thing.
He wasn't doing anything claptrap-ish.
I think at one point he said, like, have this, bitches, and then threw people down a hole. But
He was actually useful in combat, which, again, is not correct at all. Roland, obviously, is one of the biggest issues people have with the casting, because Kevin Hart is not remotely similar to Roland's character at all. For starters, Roland was very tall, and that's not something that Kevin Hart can help. But also, could you not have cast someone like Terry Crews, who probably could play a straight man? Because Roland was a straight man. Like, he didn't crack wise, he was very serious, and most of the humorous interactions with him come from other characters, like sort of saying, you know, why are you so serious all the time? Come on, relax. Let's chill out. But he was always very serious. And we saw him probably crack-wise the most out of anyone in this trailer.
Yeah.
He had the most lines.
Everyone in this film, according to this trailer, is just playing the person they play in most.
Yeah.
In most
movies. Yeah,
And not true to the actual characters themselves. The YouTube comments under the trailer.
Did they like it, Ben?
No, they didn't.
Oh.
I picked out some good quotes for you. It's got big, he's behind me, isn't he, energy.
yeah.
By the looks of it, they literally got the world, the guns, the creatures, heck, even Claptrap's design on point. But when it came down to the characters, they were like, find me the most how do you do fellow teens actors imaginable for these iconic character roles.
Mm-hmm.
Weird that they'd publish their April Fool's gag trailer in February. Superb work. You can really tell the production team glanced at the Borderlands Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
yes, this is We Have Guardians of the Galaxy at Home.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them in the sequel make Chris Pratt do Handsome Jack, and he's going to say, it's a me, Handsome Jack, as well as Pandora, here we come. And finally, Claptrap sounds like carp.
Like what? Oh, like carp.
Like carp.
Okay, sounds like carp.
Claptrap sounds like carp.
Yeah.
I do have issues with this, and I worry specifically about Ariana Greenblatt, who is playing Tiny Tina.
Yeah.
I think she's going to receive a lot of hate from people reason to do that. She's just a child actor.
And she's just done a Star Wars as well.
She's done a Star Wars. She was in Barbie as well.
She's a fantastic actor.
She's
and I think
busy.
The casting is good for her, but it's just... the character isn't Tiny Tina they've made her play.
And unfortunately, she's being assigned, or she's signing up to things that have toxic fan bases.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a real shame. Again, I hope it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I would like that more.
Do you know what also I loved? So one thing I love about trailers, and this production company in particular do it all the time, I love when they edit some lines of dialogue together and all the inflections are wrong.
Yes.
Like at one point in the trailer, she goes, we have to find the vault. And I was watching, I reacted to it on stream last night, and I paused it and I was cackling because I thought it was so funny. And I love it when they're like, you can tell it's like five sentences just spliced together.
I always think like, can they not just like get them to just record, even get them on the phone for God's sake, and just get them to record the line just for the trailer.
Like, do you reckon they'll do a novelization? Like they did with the Uncharted movie. Do we get a Borderlands movie novelization? I really hope so.
At one point, Nolan North shows up. In the novelization, it says, and then a guy who called himself Nolan North turned up. He was relaxing on a sun lounger.
We're going to get an Uncharted sequel at some point.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
We've got
to.
He might end up in a different pizza restaurant.
Yeah, I'm literally in a Domino's right now.
Yeah.
We are so blessed currently to be living in a golden age of video game adaptations on the TV and movie front, but also be blessed with movies that are terrible, but like not Uwe Boll early 2000s terrible where there was no budget. It's basically unwatchable. Like these are
big
budget movies with big actors in, and they're bad, and I love it. That's like just as... this is going to be, for me, I'm going to get just as much enjoyment out of the Borderlands movie with it being bad as The Last of Us TV show.
Yes.
Just as much enjoyment.
It was to go more into why this has taken so long.
Yeah.
So it was first sort of the idea was being thrown around in May 2015. It was officially announced as a film in August 2015. It was going to be an R-rated take on the material in April 2016.
Should've been the
idea. It doesn't look like it's going to be R-rated anymore.
It's only PG.
Yeah.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
But it feels like it's going to be PG. It'll be 12A.
Oh, God.
So that's the last we heard is April 2016. It's going to be R-rated. Then in February 2020, Eli Roth was attached to direct the film from a screenplay that had been written by Craig Mazin, who's worked on Chernobyl and The Last of Us.
Mazin.
Yeah. It's going to be Craig Mazin.
Daniel Bedingfield.
Yeah, cast was confirmed by like across 2020 and 2021. Then Amazin's script had been rewritten by Huel Taylor, who did Creed 2 and Space Jam: A New Legacy, and Tony Rattenmeier, who has no hyperlink on Wikipedia, so okay. I don't
just
know who that
guy.
Is
for you, Tone.
Yeah, and then rewritten again by Roth. Roth was someone
the director
earlier
Eli
on
Roth.
Yeah, that Eli Roth, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
So we had some rewrites. Filming started in April 2021 during the COVID-19 pandemic, although it wrapped in June, so they seemingly did an all right job of that. And then in January 2023 there were 2 weeks of reshoots that were directed not by Roth, by Tim Miller, because Roth was committed to Thanksgiving 2023. Roth said he wouldn't be involved in the reshoots, but remained attached to the film and gave Miller his blessing.
Oh, that's nice.
And some new stuff was written for that sort of that part of it. And then in June 2023, Amazin removed his name from the project, replaced by Joe Crombie, who he then had to publicly deny was a pseudonym. why would he leave the film
Joe
and then
Crombie.
Remain attached? Well, maybe I guess he thought oh, because it's going to be really bad and I don't
what
want
it
to.
What it doesn't say in there is when I think the real issue when they were filming this was the fact that Randy Pitchford wouldn't leave him alone.
Oh, would God. He not? Was
well,
he involving
no, but
himself?
I just remember that video of like him being on the set and being like, we're here on the set, meandering around, harassing Kevin Hart. Mm.
What, that was like E3 20...
Well, it was...
19, maybe?
I don't know, because I don't know if it was when I was here or not.
No, it would have been when they were shooting. It was so definitely in E3. Oh, it was a
Gearbox
stream, wasn't it?
It was during E3 time. I think it was the E3 either just before I started in 2021 or just after I started.
Because I think that was one of the ones we decided not to stream reactions to and then afterwards went, I'm glad we didn't stream reactions to that.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be an interesting character to watch. He already is, Randy Pitchford, but especially during the sort of like...
Do you reckon he'll be in it?
Oh, he's definitely in it. He's definitely in it somewhere because... I saw an Instagram reel this morning of some, what was it, like almost breaking down the trailer.
Right.
Mm.
So like I was just swiping through and then it said, see that? That's a DAR logo, like the weapons manufacturer. And then he kept like pausing it. And I was like, this is an IGN video. It's Randy Pitchford going through his own movie's trailer.
Was it Randy?
Pointing out like, there's a runner, sick. Like
on
Randy.
IGN.
Stop, man. I get that you want to be part of like the marketing cycle, but at the same time, like
he is
poison to everything.
I do wonder how much involvement he actually had in sort of production and like conceptualization and stuff and you know, writing. Did he I'm not suggesting he did any writing, but did he read scripts and say yes or no or yeah, it's...
We'll have to wear our Pitchford shirts to
yeah.
the
will. Yeah.
To when we go and see it.
Yeah, and no one in the cinema, there'll be no one there apart from us.
No one in the cinema
will know that those shirts belong to Randy
There's
Pitchford,
a little bit of Randy.
But we'll
know. They're worth $400 each.
And anyone who's been like, I'm a real fan of Borderlands, I'd be like, are you wearing Randy Pitchford's shirt?
Yeah.
Don't think so,
I
homie.
Am. Suck it. That would be a bit strange, though, wouldn't it?
If
anyone went to go and see the Borderlands movie.
And I reckon if we talked about it enough, we could probably make the headlines.
That together would be weird news.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, if you'd like to submit some weird video game news to us, you can do so under the relevant social media post that goes out on a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Go to Patreon. Thank you, Ashton. If not, go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at the appropriate tier, and become a podcast producer. Guarantee yourself a shout out at this point in the podcast, just like
Chris Thompson's Thumbs,
G.Y. Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Nicole Hansen,
Kyle Gary,
Andy Scott,
Blake Thomas,
Lockie Morris,
Shaman Nomo,
Great Giggity,
Melody L. Bonet,
Katie Garrett,
Gabrielle Philipping,
Potato_Shack99,
Eric Sue.
And Big Money Bobby Vegas.
Thank you, podcast.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Got some weird news, Peter.
I got some weird news. It was sent to us by Connor Bennett at cbennett_12 on Twitter. I did check the Facebook and I don't think anyone sent it there. This is according to Go Nintendo.
Go.
Go. Written by Raw Meat Cowboy. Lovely.
I don't think that's their given
I don't think it's
name.
Their real name. No.
Do you mean that's his Christian name?
Yes. The headline is Hyperkin releases Oscar Mayer Kool-Aid and Sriracha. It actually says Sriracha there.
That is how you spell Sriracha.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Ah,
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, if you look on a bottle, it's Sriracha.
I've
Sriracha.
Always just blindly assumed it is not Sriracha.
No, that's
Sriracha
how...
on a Wednesday, yeah. Wednesday, Wednesday in February.
Yes, February. Switch controllers.
Okay.
Is the end of that sentence. And it says update in parentheses.
Oh my goodness, it's not
What's
edible.
The update?
Well, the subheading is, well, hot dog.
Good.
There you go. Looking for a new controller for your Switch? Hyperkin has plenty of high-quality options available. Sounds like an ad. Yeah. But now they've added three incredibly stylish options for Switch owners. Okay, I guess that depends on your own definition of stylish, but they're certainly interesting designs at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Hyperkin has teamed up with Oscar Mayer. Is it Mayer or Mayer, Ashton?
I think it's
Mayer, I think.
Mayer, yeah, I think so. Oscar Mayer, Kool-Aid, and Sriracha for three very unique versions of their Bluetooth Switch controller. These $40 controllers use Bluetooth up to 30 feet and feature high-quality symmetrical sticks, responsive action button feel, and reliable triggers. This does feel like a sponsored article.
Hmm. It probably
is. They've just copied and pasted it directly from the press release.
Yeah. They're offering accompanying cases for these controllers separately for $20.
Are they hot dog buns?
Oh, that would be good.
It would be.
It would be good.
I think that would actually be sick.
If you take a controller... If you'd like to take a closer look at the controller or cases, you can find them on the official Hyperkin store, which they've linked to.
Yeah.
Update. Hyperkin has also revealed it also Heinz ketchup and Kraft mac and cheese controller and case. They're also available now. You can make your purchases for those through this link.
Oh!
Would you like to see the controllers?
That's the mac and cheese one.
The mac and cheese one isn't very good. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
The Heinz one is good.
The ketchup one's
good. Red and white, nice design.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's like the cases. Wow, the case
wow,
is great.
Wow, the case
just
is good.
Just looks like a bottle of ketchup. Oh.
I think maybe those are just the...
Oh.
That's the end. You've got the other ones.
Oh, there they are, yeah.
Oh, those look cool.
The Sriracha one's cool.
I think all three of them look quite cool.
They do actually look quite nice.
I'm scared of hot dogs.
You're scared...
Like not, the sausage.
No, we don't have time.
Oh, yeah.
We just don't have
on
time.
Main menu,
we
you're
don't have time
out.
To unpack this right now. Another time. I can't open this Pandora's box, whatever this is.
I have a news.
Do you?
Submitted by Jonathan Wong on Facebook by Adam Starkey for Metro. Asda is selling Immortals of Avum for just £1.
Oh
no.
God, yeah. that is harsh.
A pound.
After costing $125 million to make, Immortals of Avum is now being sold for just £1, only 6 months after launch.
Oh my God.
It is one of the most high-profile financial flops of last year, almost instantly resulting in severe layoffs at developer Ascendant Studios. Another sad sting to the tale, the magical shooter is now being sold for just £1 at UK supermarket Asda, only 6 months after launch. Immortals of Avon was originally priced at $69.99 when it came out in August. I can't believe it came out in August. In my mind, that came out in like February.
Mm.
According to social media, the game was already reduced to £5 at Asda as supermarket seemingly attempts to clear out its stock. Mm. And there's a picture of it on the shelf looking very sad. Hey, don't make me watch an advert to click on a Twitter link. You'll piss me off. There it is. Look, just a pound.
Oh, God.
Okay,
next to something that's 30 quid.
Hey, any of you entrepreneurs out there, go get it. Go get as many copies as you can and take them to CEX because you'll get £8 cash.
Oh, wow.
So on PS5, go and do that. Go and trade them all in.
Profit.
That is unreal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well,
it's a shame.
And then it tells you what the game is. And then it tells you what Asda is.
What is Asda?
It's a similar story.
It's Walmart.
It's Walmart. Well, actually, I think
it's
owned, Tesco's
it's owned
Walmart.
By Walmart. No, Asda's owned by Walmart.
Yeah, Asda and Walmart.
But it isn't our Walmart. It's just a supermarket.
Yeah.
That is unfortunate. I don't think we've actually covered it on this podcast, but they're one of the developers came out and said that, hey, we did everything that people supposedly want.
Here's the quote.
Okay, go on.
Sure, there was some serious talent on the development team. This is from a former employee, by the way. But trying to make a AAA single-player shooter in today's market was a truly awful idea. I don't think that was your issue. No. Especially since it was a new IP that was also trying to leverage Unreal Engine 5. What ended up launching was a bloated, repetitive campaign that was far too long.
Well, that's the issue then. It's not that it was... the narrative that came out of this that we've all disagreed with when we've spoken about it off content, and I think is reflected by a lot of people as well, is that the issue wasn't that they tried to make a first-person shooter in the current market climate. It's that they made a
boring,
a really uninteresting one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was their problem.
I played it for like 6 hours and then I was bored.
Yeah. A quid, though. That is a damning indictment, isn't it?
Mm.
EA reportedly invested $125 million into making... here it is. Yeah, this is PC Gamer. Hang on, are they quoting someone? Or are they just saying it themselves as an opinion? Yeah, this is an article that PC Gamer put out, and they've just said, EA reportedly invested $125 million making a new single-player IP with zero microtransactions, no grind, a shorter running time, and guess what? Nobody bought it.
Nobody bought it because it was boring.
The
EA.
Implication being that we should be having all these like microtransaction heavy.
Yeah, because live service games famously also do really well.
The bad take by PC Gamer.
Yeah, what an absolutely horrible take. Mm. Wow.
It's a crap take. Idiots, babies. That was your weird news. Yeah, it's my turn now, isn't it? I've got weird news that comes courtesy of Paul Ansell and James Matthews on Facebook and Chris at Longest of Shots on Twitter.
James Matthews, do you know him?
No relation.
No.
Do you have a cousin called James?
Oh my God, it's him.
Okay. This is from the Gamer Ant, Lauren Bieler Bystad, who is one of the Gamer Ants. The headline is, Lost Fallout New Vegas Fred Durst mod makes a comeback after 7 years.
Can I tell you a secret about this?
Is it a secret?
You found it.
About me. When I saw this, I got him confused with Fred West.
Oh my God,
the serial killer.
Right.
I was like, why has someone done that? And then
Fred and Rose West DLC mod has been found.
Isn't Fred Durst a serial killer? And then I realized I was wrong.
He only wants to fly, chocolate starfish, etc. A Fallout New Vegas mod featuring Limp Bizkit frontman Fred Durst has made a surprise comeback after years of being wiped from the internet. Fallout New Vegas is one of the most popular entries in the post-apocalyptic survival franchise, and the Fred Durst mod was an absolutely absurd addition to the game. It then tells us what Fallout New Vegas is.
Yeah, what Asda is.
And then it tells us again that Fred Durst being
brought back. Does it tell you who Fred Durst is?
It does, yes.
Because don't get confused.
Does need to know
not
that.
Fred West. Thanks to a Twitter user known as Usagi Cola, the mod has been found and restored, bringing Fred Durst back to his rightful place in the Mojave Desert. The mod was originally released in 2015, but was eventually taken down. The New Vegas modding community has managed to bring a lot of great content to Obsidian Survival RPG, but it was believed the Fred Durst mod was lost forever until now. You've said that like four times in this article.
It was lost forever until now.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, today we've made modding history. The Limp Bizkit mod for Fallout New Vegas has been found and restored. Link to Google Doc down below. So there we are. An NPC that looks exactly like Fred Durst is funny enough. But the cherry on top is how the NPC only speaks in Limp Bizkit lyrics.
I've seen a clip of that.
When a player interacts with Fred Durst, he replies with portions of Limp Bizkit songs. And its over-the-top absurdity is a hilarious extra layer added to New Vegas. Blah, blah, blah. It just keeps going and going. But I can't play any of it. Because we will get content ID matched because it's just clips of the songs where, you know, you tell him to do something and he just goes, it's just one of those days.
Yeah.
And that's it. He just speaks in bits of
it's
song.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his backwards cap, his soul patch. It's Fred Durst. Everyone loves Fred Durst.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids.
No, what?
Oh, my God.
Not Fred West. Not Fred West.
I got so confused.
Everyone's celebrating this serial killer.
I was like, that guy's killed people, and then I realized it wasn't him.
He's going to kill people in this game, to be fair.
Yeah. Fred West is quite often, he's one of the people that gets, it's like when they abuse those systems where like walkers say, get your face on, and it's like a portrait with like Gary Lineker or whatever, and it gets like posted to their official social media.
You tweet Hulk Hogan, like, can you wish my dad happy birthday?
He's one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's awful. Mm. That was weird news. Thank you so much, everybody, for submitting that weird news. It's time now for the big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes courtesy of Chris McVeigh. Chris says, hi, Bap.
Hello.
Hi.
This week's Nintendo Direct Partner Showcase saw a few interesting announcements. There we are.
Yeah, nice.
But was generally pretty low-key, with new rumors about the successor to the Switch appearing pretty much every day. Do you think this relatively fallow late era for the console suggests that developers are hoping to be rid of it sooner rather than later? Mm. Thank you, Chris.
This Nintendo Direct was weird, wasn't it? Like, the fact that it wasn't live.
Yeah.
It was just like 20-minute video.
I'm always thrown by the man doing voiceover for every single game.
Yeah.
So having to like just a huge tonal shift where now I'm talking about something serious.
Yeah.
But now we're jumping around in colorful, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It's very weird.
I looked to their last, like one from last year, because normally they do one in February and then one in the summer and then one towards the end of the year. And their one from February last year was 45 minutes long and like quite substantial with the content that like the games they announced. So I was quite surprised this one was 20 minutes long and just kind of a video not uploaded live, onto their yeah. YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Weird. Anyway.
It was a bit odd. We were all sort
weird
of...
Weird news!
We were sort of watching it live-ish. And we were sort of watching it at the same time and commenting in the chat. So some of the lines that voiceover man had to say...
Oh my God, my favorite one.
Were bonkers.
My favorite one was, it's liquidy, it's solidy, it's goo.
It's goo.
That was my favorite line.
I'm gonna go into the chat and read some because it was only yesterday at the time of recording.
The word homunculus was said so
homunculi.
Times, homunculi.
Yeah. The homunculi.
I had to Google what is a homunculus because I had never heard it used so much and I still didn't know what a homunculus was by the time I left. It's just some guy, like a person or something infested by some kind of virus or parasite.
The alchemists used to try and make them. It's like a little person. Mm. You could like do something with a chicken egg or something and make a human being out of it, which is not what you could actually do.
Check the position of other horses. That was one of them.
That was a good one.
Umami magic.
Yeah.
What else we got? I mean, there was just
it's
all
liquidy,
sorts.
It's liquidy, it's solidy,
it's goo. Yeah, there were just
so good.
Some really bizarre things. Gundam was there.
Gundam
was
exciting.
There. Yeah. I've said it.
Is that Gundam?
And Gunpla.
Yes, very odd.
He also just used a perfectly ordinary word as though it was like an unusual one. In the little village building one, he was like, oh yeah, people have different roles called jobs or something like that. It's something like, it wasn't quite that, but.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre. Yeah. Peter and I have got a few sort of highlights we're going to run through and talk about. We're not going to go through every single thing that was shown. It was only about 25
None
minutes long. You can go and watch it now.
But even I felt remotely interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't write anything down because I just was not bothered by any of it.
So this was a partner showcase. So it wasn't going to have first party stuff there. So no Princess Peach Showtime or anything else that might be coming out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll talk about the Switch's life cycle shortly. But what did you think, Peter? Have you got anything written down there?
I've got a few written down. Super Monkey Ball looked quite cute and fun. It looked a bit Fall Guys-y when they had all the like the multiplayer bit at the end where there were like 16 monkeys or something.
What I liked about this showcase, speaking of that, is that there were so many single player games that like, now I can play it with 100 people in it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
I've never properly played a Super Monkey Ball. I've like briefly been hands on with it for like an hour, maybe at a friend's house or something. I don't even remember when, but I've
had
always
it on
thought,
the Wii and it used to drive me mental.
Right.
It's so hard.
It does look hard, but I've always kind of wanted to give it a go and just never got around to it. So that I was like, oh, more Super Monkey Ball. Okay. The Battlefront Classic Collection, obviously, I'm interested by that.
Yes, we need to talk about that because I feel like for us, that was the biggest thing to come out.
Yeah.
Because it's also coming to other platforms
it is.
As well.
Yeah.
That's... 64 players online.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. And it will like run
well,
very, very well, I'm sure. I tweeted saying this is like for me the best thing from the showcase. And I played it on PS2 not long ago. And wow, it's not aged well in terms of performance. You know, the gameplay's still kind of what you know, how you remember it, but when I was flying around in space, I was like, wow, this isn't running very well at all. Mm-hmm. Just to have a nice, like clean build of that. Couple of like extra characters and maps that were, I think, like Xbox exclusive
Kit Fisto.
Or something.
Oh, okay. Kit Fisto.
Topless Kit Fisto and Asajj Ventress, who's from the Claymation show.
Yes.
It's not Claymation. That's a reference to something.
I'm very curious about how they handle the online here because EA might accidentally make something that is way more popular than the most recent two Star Wars Battlefront games. Like, are they going to overhaul it so that there's like a progression system? Are they going to put it into like microtransaction live service hell?
Or are they just going to do it?
Or is
it
just going to be like a really competent, you know, because everyone loves the original Battlefront games anyway. It could just be that this game blows up. It gets like a budget release and it supports 64 players. And this is kind of what we've spoken about several times before, where we don't always need to be pushing, or we shouldn't necessarily always be pushing for like cutting edge visuals and stuff like that. Because if we continue to make games that looked like that, like PS2 games, just think how broad in scope they could be now if like it does look kind of hideous, you know? It will look hideous, but it could be extremely popular.
It could be. And it's probably to an extent my algorithm, but I've seen a lot of people talking about this in the wake of that. People getting excited. I've had people like message me, like a couple of friends I've not spoken to in a while, saying, "Have you seen that this is coming out?" So yeah, I think that's it's an interesting one, and I'm keen to see how well it does.
Yeah, me too.
Epic Mickey Rebrushed. I've heard good things about Epic Mickey. It was available on Wii. I thought it looked quite bad on the
Isn't it a remake?
It is a remake.
Doesn't look like a remake, does it?
It did not look like it was running well in the Switch trailer. But it's also going to be out on PS4 and 5, but I don't think Xbox. And I'd like to think it'll run better on a PS5. It's like a Wii game originally.
It was on a few things, I think. Maybe it was ported.
I don't know if it was a Wii game originally. The second one was.
Oh, right.
Epic Mickey 2
might be
with Oswald was on Wii.
It didn't set the world on fire, I feel like. Again, this is a weird candidate for a remake.
Yeah.
And you'll never guess who's publishing it.
Is it Embracer Group?
Yes, it is.
Do you know who in Embracer it is, or
don't know? I can look it up. Yeah, have a look. But this is their MO.
Yeah,
where they remake stuff that doesn't need remaking.
Yeah,
and then it probably underperforms, and it's not very.
Someone gets sacked.
If you go back and watch the trailer, specifically the Switch version of the trailer, the frame rate is not good.
Oh,
sorry.
Rebrushed.
Okay. But then when you search for it on game, it's listed as Disney Epic Mickey Refurbished.
And on Steam,
it's Disney Epic Mickey Rebrushed.
That must be a typo from game.
Yeah.
Surely, right?
Refurbished.
Unless it's got a UK name, you know, like Zootopia and Zootopolis.
Refurbished would make sense if it was like Refurbished
has just been announced at Nintendo Direct 2024.
Is this just people just misreading it or autocorrect?
What are you doing?
Weird.
Double check it is Embracer, because I might have been wrong. I think it's THQ Nordic or something.
Yeah, why does game say it's called Refurbished?
That's very bizarre. Because you can buy products from game that are refurbished.
Yeah.
So maybe it... Maybe it's just
selling the fact that it says it was announced at the weird. Okay.
Very strange.
Odd.
So I've seen some people in certain circles
it's from
saying
THQ Nordic.
There we go. Okay. Of course it is.
Yeah, of course. Saying that they enjoyed the original, and I've always thought like, oh, I wonder, was that any good? And so I'll probably just keep an eye on this one. But the Switch trailer specifically, it is like hanging in places, or like it's low.
There was
low
a couple of that. Of similar like issues in the Nintendo Direct, like, a couple of the games looked like they were running like ass, and I was like, this is your showcase. Why are we using footage of games that don't run very well on your platform?
You can't accuse them of lying, I suppose, when it comes
and you could tell it wasn't an issue with either the VOD itself or even sort of the way they'd rendered out the trailer, because it would be like it would be chugging in gameplay sections and they'd suddenly cut to a cutscene segment and that would be running smoothly. So, you know, I've got a couple more, but you go.
I was going to say, speaking of games that didn't look like they ran very well, we finally got the actual confirmation of the Xbox games that are going to be coming.
Yeah.
So Pentiment is out now at the time of release of this podcast on Switch and PlayStation as well. Grounded is coming to Switch. That did not look like it ran very well.
No. Yeah.
And it's now being confirmed that Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves will also be coming.
Oh, have they confirmed that? Have they?
Certainly for PlayStation. I don't know about Switch.
Yeah.
Right.
But they'll all be out by the end of April. And as we predicted last week, two games got like nicely showcased in a direct.
Yeah.
And then the PlayStation announcement was just, coming.
Yeah, we're doing it as well.
Don't care. So that was about right. But Grounded, I think Pentiment was shown in like a highlight reel trailer with other stuff.
Towards the end, yeah.
Like a sizzle reel. And then Grounded did get its own section.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when it was cutting between like the third person shots of like characters running across the screen and then the actual first person gameplay looked a bit. Yeah.
Need to get that Zelda witch on it.
But it needs to, like, the whole point of Grounded is that it's a, like, they want to extend the player base. So they can't like build a custom Switch build that runs, like, it has to work the same as other consoles, which is maybe why it's struggling a bit.
Yeah.
Did you have any more?
I did have a couple. Penny's Big Breakaway was shadow dropped.
I thought that looked bad, but my boyfriend was like, that looked great.
Mascot platformer
I just thought it didn't look very, like, it gave me like big PlayStation 3 vibes. It just didn't look very good.
I just found it a bit confusing. I didn't really know what to make of it.
People were very upset about a couple of things. There was a huge tease because a lot of Nintendo fans for the longest time have wanted Rare Replay, which has obviously been on Xbox for a while now, because there are so many classic N64 games in there. Conker's Bad Fur Day and GoldenEye and that kind of stuff, Banjo. Mm-hmm. And they showed the Rare logo and then went, we're actually going to bring some really old Rare classics to the Switch Online
16-bit
subscription thing. And to be fair, that may just be laying the groundwork, because from what I understand, the Rare Replay, some of the games on it were actually Xbox 360 versions of those games that were then booting up separately and emulated on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think as a 360. I think a lot of them, it was the big ones. It was like Conker and Banjo and stuff. I think they were the ones that were emulated, I think.
So it's not quite as straightforward to bring Rare Replay over, but you have to believe that that's in the works. And also, once it was finished, it turns out that Mother 3 is going to Japan's Nintendo Switch Online subscription.
Yes, yeah.
And people have been wanting Mother 3 for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Some tables were flipped, to put it mildly. What else have you got?
Endless Ocean Luminous, I thought, looked very sort of sweet and calming and, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably play a game like that and not be involved in the multiplayer at all and have just as good a time.
Yeah.
I think in a way it's nice to swim around a deep ocean without having loads of people around you. It's more about
it's like an underwater safari kind of thing where you just document all
with
the
like
wildlife.
Hundreds of different fish, I think. Yeah. And some were mythical and some were extinct.
From what I understand, it was there was a Wii game originally.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of it.
Ocean, I think.
I think so, yeah. I'd never heard of it. I wasn't a Wii boy.
Do we know, is it like a follow-up or is it just a remake of the Wii version?
I imagine it's a new one,
I think it's a new one, yeah.
It's like all new. I don't know if the original one had any kind of online to it, but yeah, have a double check.
And the one other one I had sticking with the ocean theme I didn't write this down to say it looked good, but Another Crab's Treasure. Just wanted to bring that up because apparently it's a Souls-like.
Yeah, it's like a cartoony, cutesy Souls-like that looks like Little Mermaid.
What on earth is that about?
Very bizarre.
So many of those games just had me like shaking my head and I was just looking at it and I was just like, why is this being the thing that's being showcased? Like, that crab game looked like such, just Steam rubbish that you get on like the homepage of Steam. Like, you can play a crab game.
The reaction's been pretty good
because
the premise is so crazy.
I'm insane when I look. I'm like, why am I the only one that thinks this is rubbish?
I'm kind of with you. Like, I didn't think it looked like bad, but I just thought, oh, okay, it's not like the first few seconds of footage I was like, oh, what's this? And then like the more I saw, I was like, oh, it's not for me. But I thought, oh, it's a shame. It could have been for me, but isn't.
Yeah, it's not Endless Ocean Luminous. It's not a remake. It is the third title.
Oh, the third. Okay, cool. Yeah, I saw a couple of Nintendo fans that I follow on Twitter like quite excited about playing that, and yeah, look lovely. And you can go down there with like a group of other scuba divers and just chill out, and
a lot of them, by the way.
Nothing's trying to kill you, which is lovely. Returning to Chris's question about sort of the end of the Switch's life cycle, obviously Chris and you, Ashton, didn't feel very impressed by this direct. And it seems to have divided opinions on that front, because I heard a lot of people actually said it was quite good and that there was a lot there for them. But what do you guys think? Peter, what do you think about what remains of the Switch's life cycle and how this Direct could potentially be a sign of it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult to... I think it's difficult to use this Direct to comment on, you know, how well the Switch's future is looking in terms of game availability, because this was, you know, intentionally, this was not for first-party stuff. And I think that's what, personally, I think that's what Nintendo does best. And certainly, I think it's what the Switch does best. So if you factor in first-party Nintendo stuff, I think, you know, past few months, past year or so, Nintendo's been doing a pretty good job, and it's all, you know, been promising, and I think you could feel quite optimistic about it. But I guess Chris is saying, well, maybe the fact that this, in terms of third-party developers, the fact that there wasn't so much here, is that saying that, all right, Nintendo might be quite happy to continue to put out some really good stuff on their console, but are other people less inclined to do so? I don't know. It's difficult to say, because the Switch obviously has its hardware limitations, and that's the thing that if there's been anything that has kind of hounded the Switch or been a problem for the Switch over the past few years, it's those limitations. You know, it kind of it's in its own little corner of the game development world. Mm-hmm. People who are making stuff for PS5 and Xbox Series have to think carefully about whether or not they also bring something to Switch. So it's kind of a home for its own brand of games and its own sort of size and scope of games. And I think if you factor that in and consider the fact that, you know, the Switch, it's never going to have loads of big hitters being announced in any given showcase, then I think ultimately it's a bit of a half-assed answer, but I think there's not enough evidence here to say, oh, I think perhaps developers are being turned off the Switch now and are wanting to look elsewhere. Like, yeah, maybe it wasn't a super exciting showcase for a lot of people, but just because there wasn't an awful lot here and now, that's not to say that is a sign of things to come. I think sometimes you have a bit of a dud showcase every so often. And as you say, Ben, I think other people thought it was impressive and exciting. I mean, for me, as we've said, the most exciting thing was Battlefront, which is going elsewhere as well. So yeah, I don't think this is writing on the wall for the Switch.
I have some mixed feelings about what's happening with the Switch, because obviously the last few months they've put out a lot of games. We've had Super Mario RPG, which was a remake. We've had Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which is a remake. We've had Super Mario Wonder, which was another mainline installment into Mario franchise. Next month we have Peach's Showtime, whatever it's called. Princess Peach Showtime?
I think that's the name of it.
But that is the last thing that they currently have announced.
Metroid Prime 4, whatever it is. Yeah. The one that's been in development forever.
Yeah. But Princess Peach Showtime is the last thing, like first party title, that they have in the pipeline. And obviously yesterday's showcase didn't necessarily have the next like big thing coming to the Switch that people can get excited for. I'm not saying that that's the end of the Switch's life cycle, like, because it could be like, as of May, done.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think that the Switch is becoming a console that is harder and harder and harder to work with when other consoles are so much further into the hardware like field than they are. We've seen it a lot recently with games like Mortal Kombat launching on the Switch.
Oh my God,
and running
so
like ass.
So funny.
And like, we've seen even games like the Arkham trilogy don't run. And these are games that ran on a PlayStation 3 and they will not run on the Switch. I know everyone will like level back at me, but what about Tears of the Kingdom? But as we discussed last week, that was made by a witch.
That was made by witches. It shouldn't run.
It should not run. Doesn't make any sense. So I think that potentially we'll be hearing, I'm hopeful soon, because I don't know how much longer the Switch will be able to get away with not improving its hardware. Mm-hmm. I think that eventually we're going to run into an issue where all of the games coming out on the Switch are the same, especially from Nintendo. A lot of their more recent games are very, very similar and have very similar limitations. Princess Peach Showtime is a side-scrolling Mario game. Wonder was a side-scrolling Mario game. And again, those are great games. I'm not, well, Princess Peach is out yet, but Wonder was
it's
a great game.
It's probably going to be really good.
Yeah, it's probably going to be really good. You can guarantee they'll make a good game. But how long they're going to get away with just having their games on their platform is a wonder. A Super Mario wonder, if you will. Because it's not, objectively, playing a game on the Switch is the worst way to play most games. Battlefronts will run better on PlayStation. It Mortal Kombat runs better everywhere else. It is objectively the worst place to play a multi-platform game for the vast majority of games.
Unless you want to take it with you.
Unless you want to take it with
this
you.
This is the thing.
Which is great. But also, nowadays, if you're really, 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 really wanting to take games with you and you're on the move a lot but you want a good experience, there's alternatives. And if it's a game that's releasing on PC, there's like five or six different handhelds that you can get. They are obviously a bit more expensive than a Switch, but they'll run a lot more games and you have a bigger library of games that it will run well. Like Lenovo has one. Obviously, it's the Steam Deck. Lenovo has one. I think Samsung
Nvidia has one.
Nvidia has one. Like, there's loads of ways you can play PC games on the go now. Obviously, Xbox has put stuff on cloud gaming. A lot of those cloud gaming games, if you have a good enough internet connection, can be played wherever you go. PlayStation are not doing it as well, but at least they now have their handheld, whatever it's
portal.
Called, portal.
Remote Play's pretty good.
Remote Play's all right if you're in the same house, admittedly.
Good internet.
But yeah, I think that, you know, there is other ways to play portably. Obviously, they've cornered the market a lot with being the handheld console, but eventually I don't think that's going to be enough. So I'm hopeful that they will be announcing their next thing potentially by the end of the year, if not earlier on, to be released end of the year next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
From a consumer sort of player perspective, I think Nintendo fans are in a really good spot at the moment just because of the, like, they really have been just smashing out games the past few months, as you've said. And, you know, we got Princess Peach. Maybe we don't know what comes after that, admittedly. We do have a Pokemon Direct. There's Pokemon Day at the end of this month.
Yeah.
So it could well be that we get
Pokemon
another Pokemon.
Pokemon games notoriously have been really good.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing.
They
that
run so well.
Plays exactly
people
into
don't
your argument.
Trust that. They, you know, we were talking a little while ago about people don't trust Naughty Dog as much anymore.
Yeah.
People do not trust the
Game
Pokemon
Freak.
Games.
No, yeah. and that's fair enough. But they still sell 12 billion
well,
copies
yes,
and they'll be exclusive to Nintendo.
Yeah.
So it could well be that we get a couple of, maybe a remake. I know people, that's a dirty word, but from what I can gather, as someone who's not a huge Nintendo fan, Nintendo fans have been absolutely thrilled with the remake stuff, you know, some of the older stuff that's been coming recently, and they continue to add value through the online subscription as well with stuff like that. So there's plenty for Nintendo players to be getting on with, if not potentially looking forward to, if we don't get any confirmation of any future games. From a developer perspective, of course, yes, it's got to be hard and it's got to be frustrating to still be working with primarily handheld software, hardware, bloody hell, from 2017. You know, that stuff even then didn't match the current crop of consoles, because obviously if it's going to be packed into a little handheld, it can't. And to still be working with that now is a challenge, and it must be frustrating. I don't imagine, as Chris says, the devs are hoping to get rid. I mean, I'm sure they'll be happy to be working on newer hardware, but I would imagine the fact that there wasn't a huge presence, you know, the fact that there wasn't a load of amazing, huge third-party games here is probably the reason that it's always been, mainly that these games just can't run on the Switch, and so that, you know, you're not going to get Call of Duty on it. But also, most of them are now probably tinkering away with hardware of the whatever the Switch successor is going to be, because we know that that's going to be coming within the next 12 months, in all likelihood. If not the end of this year, then probably very early next year. So I would imagine that's what they'll be doing currently. But there's still stuff to look forward to. And I think, you know, the Nintendo Direct Partner Showcase, isn't necessarily for me. It's never really been for me. I'm not primarily a Switch player, but I could see that there were some games there to look forward to. And I've certainly seen the discourse online err on the side of positivity rather than negativity. In my little,
to be fair, one thing
ecosystem.
About Nintendo fans, yeah. they're going to be happy with it.
Yeah,
like you can look at like a PlayStation showcase.
I got to turn this off. Yeah, I am being
really
beefy.
One thing about PlayStation fans and Xbox fans is, even if they're fans of the console and the manufacturer, they will still get angry at a showcase. Whereas Nintendo fans would be like, "Thank you so much for even putting a showcase on. That was amazing.
There's stuff to look forward to.
They're just so much nicer than Sony.
They're good people.
The thing about the Switch is, I think it's got its as I said earlier, it's got its very much its own wheelhouse, and I think it depends what your average Switch player is signing up for, and as a non-Switch player, it's difficult for me to say, you know, this is exactly what your average player wants. But if it's the case that they're mainly there for Nintendo first-party stuff, which I feel like that might be what a lot of Switch players are most into, then they are going to be, or they will have been happy over the past year, 2 years, 3 years, the whole life cycle of the Switch. And yeah, all right, we don't have anything announced going forward first party, but I'm sure Nintendo will pull some stuff out in the next few months. So yeah, all right, things are a bit fallow in terms of third party, but that might not really be what most Switch players are there for anyway. So as you say, Ben, it's a different perspective from a consumer and a developer.
And
the developers I'm sure aren't happy continuing to work with this, but as a consumer, I suspect that a lot of them don't really mind that there's not as much third-party stuff on the Switch as you would get elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's also a phenomenal indie device as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And those games do run, and they're great, and you can take them anywhere, and it's super convenient. The Switch is still a brilliant piece of hardware just from a design perspective, even if it can't, you know, if it struggles to run grounded, then that's a shame, but maybe you that's not why you're there.
Yeah.
And also you can take it with you and play it anywhere you want. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very excited to see what they follow up the Switch with. But it has to be more powerful. It has.
It does. Yeah. It has to match even a little bit more to what we're currently working with on other platforms. Please.
Yeah. But it also has to be affordable. It's a difficult thing because, you know, talking earlier about the PS5, it's not really gone, in fact, went up in price, and that's absurd at this point in its life cycle for that to happen and for it to have not really reduced in price at all. The Switch, though, while not a budget system by any stretch of the imagination, has a very different target demographic than the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox does. And so they can't shove it full of like crazy hardware. You know, it's not going to have Steam Deck capabilities, but it needs to be better than the Switch is now.
It's the triangle, isn't it, where you can only have two. It has to be affordable, it has to be more powerful if they do another thing, but also you still have to be able to take it on the go and do all of the USP like Switch stuff. And you probably can't have all three of those at like, you know, 10 out of 10. You're gonna have to compromise somewhere, so
you are,
they're gonna have to make some decisions.
There's no way they won't do another portable system. It's just they just struck gold with the hybrid idea, and they must continue that. Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening/watching. Let us know what you thought of everything we discussed today in the comments section below. We'd like to hear it and see it. Thank you very much. Peter, there's a few places around the internet people can find us.
We are at youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. All of our videos go out on YouTube, and most of our streams happen on Twitch. And if you've got Amazon Prime, part of the package you are paying for includes a Twitch sub. So you can spend that on us, and you will be like a normal subscriber at no extra cost.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. On all of those, we are at Team Triple Jump. And of course, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump if you'd like to support us.
Our website is triplejump.mup. If you go there, you can find links to everything that we do. Very convenient hub, merch, hopefully coming very soon. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and we'd really appreciate it. Peter, there's just enough time to talk about this week's sponsor again, please.
Yes, there is. Hey, that person who is older and wiser than you is asking which way you're going to get to your destination. I don't know. Well, I think you should take this specific drive.
Very good.
Very nice. Thank you, everyone. Look after yourselves. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.